And this is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, the beloved NSN app. Liora Ashman is with us live from Israel. She's co-founder with her husband, Eitan, of Koach Eitan, which, of course, we'll ask her about in a moment. You can go to koacheitan.com. That's K-O-A-C-H-E-I-T-A-N.com. And the organization, which really is a godsend for those who would like to see more and more people be aware of aphasia and those who are going through it, also is somewhat event-driven, because World Aphasia Shabbat 2025 is coming up a week from Shabbat. And as I said to Liora, if just a couple of synagogues out there, because of this conversation, sign on and become one of the featured synagogues of World Aphasia Shabbat, then this conversation is certainly worthwhile. Liora Ashman, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
We got to do some background here. Your husband and, of course, your family, therefore, have been through a hard-to-believe situation, but it's a reality, and you need to give us some background and explain what happened and what the situation is right now.
Okay, sure. So thank you for asking. Sure. So in 2017, my husband Eitan, at the age of 42, he had just turned 42, suffered a massive left-sided ischemic stroke. Out of the blue, he was very active. He was he had his own business. He was a MATA volunteer, an ambulance driver. He was a CrossFit fitness coach. He gave weekly shiurim in shul. You know, fun father, great husband, and all of a sudden, you know, just collapsed. He, due to the stroke, he suffered he lost the use of his right arm. He has no function of the arm. He has hemiparesis on the right side of his body, which means it's very weak. So he walks with a cane. Inside the house, outside, he uses a scooter kind of thing. In Israel, they call it a kalnoit. I don't know what they call it over there. And he suffers from chronic pain, neurofatigue. He lost all of his memory pre-stroke, which has been really, really hard. And on top of all of that, he has something called aphasia. Aphasia is something that we did not know about at the time. And if we do, we had very little knowledge of exactly what it means. It's a result of what happens when there is damage to the left side of the brain, the language center of the brain, and it can affect your speech, reading, writing, comprehension. And it is often brought on by a stroke or brain injury or neurodegenerative disease. And it is very, very difficult to live with. Right now, 7 years post Eitan, there are many different types of aphasia, which I'm not going to get into, but you can go and look on our website for more information. Eitan has something called Broca's aphasia, which means he has words. There are people that don't have words. There are people that have sounds, many different kinds of aphasia. Eitan knows what he wants to say, but he can't get the words out. He has trouble reading and he has trouble writing.
First of all, anybody who's listening the last couple of minutes, I mean, no doubt that everyone tuned in, their hearts go out to you and to Eitan, and gives us another reason to thank God if you wake up in the morning and everything is functioning properly. Beyond that, it seems that you put the memory loss more into the stroke category as opposed to the aphasia category. Is that where it belongs?
Well, the memory is basically part. It's when you have brain damage. So the parts of the brain that are affected, that's basically what happens in your body. The brain mirrors different parts of your body. So the memory part of his brain was affected. So that the aphasia sits in the language center, not part of the aphasia. No.
Right. Understood.
It's my knowledge.
Understood. And everything you've mentioned, obviously, I mean, we can only imagine for 7 years what the challenges have been for Eitan, what the challenges have been for you and your family. That's something that's starting to sink in as we listen to you speak. But what needs to, I think one of the things that needs to be emphasized is that with all the different results of a stroke that people are familiar with, and obviously in this case, we could say that he has many of them and some of them are extreme. In addition to all that, you're in a situation where his memory loss has catapulted you into a scenario where he literally does not remember what happened before 7 years ago. Would that be accurate?
So he has different, he can look at a picture or look at a person sometimes if he has a deep connection with that person, and he can, you know, recognize the person, but not remember experiences that he had with that person. Every day since his stroke, he's been relearning everything, and he knows that he was a property management manager. He knows that he was in MADA. He remembers, like he recognizes and remembers MADA, but not what happened in MADA, if that makes sense.
Right.
He will, you know, meet one of his clients, but not remember the experiences that he had with those clients, even though he does remember those clients. And sometimes we're lucky that he will have like flashbacks, and his memory will get triggered, and he will remember different things, and it'll come out at, you know, at different times. And that's when you know, those are just like little miracles that are just amazing.
And what about family, immediate family, extended family?
Sure. So family, I like to think that he remembers all of us, 'cause we're hard to remember, hard to forget. But he's like, it's the same thing. You know, he knows who we all are, but he can't remember the past experiences. So through pictures and through albums and through stories, we rehash, which is good. And it's bittersweet, but, that's basically, he doesn't recall the experiences, which are very, very difficult for him. You know, growing up and, you know, 42 years of your life and you can't remember different experiences is tough. And especially big milestones, but he's a fighter and he's amazing and he is on a mission to help others. And so now that he's more aware, we started this organization 2.5 years ago because I needed to wait until he was ready. And it took a long time because when you've lost a lot of who you are, you know, you go through different stages of that loss. Right. And one of them is embarrassment. And, you know, he had to really feel whole. And it's not to say that he doesn't have, you know, hard times still. He definitely does. But he really would like to educate others on how to communicate, how to interact with people like himself, because otherwise they're just lonely and you need to have interaction.
Liora Ashman is with us live via telephone from Israel. KoachEitan.com, KoachEitan.com. All right. So in the effort to get the word out about aphasia and those who are experiencing it in our community, you have created a World Aphasia Shabbat. It's not the first time, you've done it before, but the 2025 edition of the World Aphasia Shabbat is next Shabbat, a week from now, on Parshat Shmot. And I'm hoping that some of the representatives, the rabbis, presidents, and the members of the synagogues who are listening right now might feel the impetus to hop aboard and be one of the synagogues that features this situation during that Shabbat. So tell us about the beginnings and the success so far of World Aphasia Shabbat and what do you expect about next week?
Sure. So together with Congregation Ora Torah in Atlanta, we started this this project 2 years ago. This is our third year. We've had around almost 30 plus shuls join this initiative, which has been amazing all around the world. And I'd probably say closer to 40. And this year we are doing it again. It is a very easy way to educate and make others aware within different communities around the world of people that may be going through or maybe living with not just aphasia, but other, you know, speech and language challenges right. or disability, and learn how to include them better within their community, within Jewish observance, within Shabbat, with Jewish holidays. So much of our religion revolves around speech and language. And it's very difficult for someone who's challenged with that. And not many people know how to include them. And then they feel awkward and they feel shy and they feel scared to approach them. And so what happens is those people take a step back and they just kind of shied away and fade out. And that is not what should happen in our communities.
Understood. There's a video, by the way, Leora and Eitan have a video that you'll see when you hit the register button, which is no commitment. Just hit the register button for the event, for the Shabbat, and you'll see the video and what they describe over there and routine tasks that you describe on the website that people with aphasia quite obviously have difficulty with, things like saying Kiddush, participating in conversation at the Shabbat table, leading davening, learning and getting involved in discussion about learning, reading from a siddur, socializing, leisure reading, et cetera, et cetera. It's really an opportunity for people to become aware of what certain members of our community are going through. And as you said, Shabbat's a good time to do that because things do slow down and there is a lot of participation in the social atmosphere and in the synagogue atmosphere. So it gives us an opportunity to really stop and consider what certain people in our community are going through.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very simple, by the way, folks. Go to koacheitan.com and register. Your synagogue can participate, and I'm assuming that once the synagogue participates, you're in touch with them in terms of what role they could play specifically that Shabbat?
Sure, sure. It's very easy. Really, 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 really easy. I'll be in touch with them, and I will give them all of the tools and things that they need, and then they'll just take it to their community.
Not that this is your responsibility, because obviously your main responsibility is to your husband and to this organization, but I think you have to admit that this is an opportunity for all of us to consider how lucky one is if they wake up in the morning and go through a normal day, and if they are able to go through a Shabbat and actually perform the tasks and be involved in the conversations that you outlined. Again, not really your role, because you have a more acute goal with this, and I get that, but it is a good reminder, and I'm sure you sometimes remind yourself about that, how people around you, thank God, have a greater appreciation for what they would consider, you know, normalcy in their lives.
Sure, of course, absolutely. We should not take it for granted. That's right. Really should not. And especially with what we're all going through now, and it's not easy to get up just on a regular day, but yes, absolutely. And Eitan could tell you that too. We just all, 100%. And so this is just really, really a great opportunity to, you know, wake, you know, thank God that you woke up and then say, now what can I do, you know, to help? And I always feel that if you don't know about something that someone is going through, you need to learn about it, because then you, like I said, then you just take a step back. And we're really grateful to be doing this with the Congregation Oratorio in Atlanta. They have a congregant also who, you know, it's basically because of one person by the name of Jeff Wiener who reached out to Koach Eitan to ask about, to ask us about how to go about the difficulties that he was having within Jewish observance. And this is how the Shabbat came to fruition. And so it really is just a great way to just get involved more within your own community. And you'll be surprised to see how many little things you didn't notice before.
Wow.
And how many things that you can do within your community to make your community a better one and a more inclusive one at that. And it's just such a special, I think it's just such a special thing. The amount of feedback that we got from the past two Shabbatot from Rabbanim who didn't know what aphasia was, from Rabbanim who hadn't had the questions that people ask about different holidays, different questions that can arise on Shabbat or every day in routine shul, it's just mind blowing. We've also created a Arab Shabbat candlelighting card with icons for women who are struggling with language. I don't know if there's any men lighting, but for anyone who's lighting Shabbat candles, you can look at the icons and you don't have to read. If you have trouble reading aloud, you can, your brain can take you to where you need to go during that bracha.
Wow.
And it's just a really, really beautiful thing. The whole Shabbat is just amazing. And it's really easy and simple. You can go online. You can listen to how we, you know, how you can participate, or I can send you, all the information is online, but if anybody gets in touch, I can send them everything. And, there's no requirement needed. All you got to do is register. That's it.
All right.
And, you're doing a service for your community.
KoachEitan.com, KoachEitan.com. By the way, earlier, Leora, you mentioned the adjustment, the embarrassment, the just getting used to things that someone like Eitan had to go through to get to this point. I mean, as you know, I have been contacted by multiple friends of Eitan and your family, and he just needs to know that there are a lot of people out there who really love him very much, and this situation, if anything, it just brought them closer to him as opposed to the opposite, and I hope you transmit that message to him.
Yes, he's got a huge fan club. We all do, which is quite amazing. And we are so blessed. We really, really are so blessed. And that's why we want to give all that love and to support the families that are going, you know, the people that go through this and the families that care for them. We give one-on-one support too, and guidance, which is also really, really important. And you can, you know, there's a lot we do within our organization. The Shabbat is just one little thing that we do, but it's a huge one, and it will make such a difference, because there's over, just in America, there's over 2 million people that have aphasia, and not a lot of people know about it. And that is something that, you know, we want to change, and we want to change it because people cannot advocate for themselves,
right,
who have aphasia. So if there's anything we can do to help them and, you know, include them more, it's just life-changing. And if the families can have the support they need, it's also even more. So,
all right.
Thank everyone who's listening. Thank you.
100%. World Aphasia Shabbat is next Shabbat, Parshat Shmot. Call, or I should say, contact our friends at Koach Eitan. There's a website, KoachEitan.com, KoachEitan.com, and participate next Shabbat in World Aphasia Shabbat. Our thanks to Leora Ashman. Leora, thank you. Best regards to everybody in Efrat. And of course, best regards to Eitan, please.
Thank you so much. Tizkor mitzvah. Thank you.
Tada rabah. KoachEitan.com. The Shabbat is next week. More coming up. You're listening to JM in the AM.